Parshas Matos, to begin with, Parshas Matos begins, Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes, saying, Zeh hadavar asher tzivah Hashem. This is what God commanded. So the Gemara says something about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that he doesn't say, so said God, Koyomah Hashem. He says, Zeh hadavar. So other prophets use the phrase, Koyomah Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than all the other prophets. He says, Zeh hadavar, this is the word. So the PSS now asks a question, and when Moshe is standing in front of Pharaoh, and he's telling him about the final plague and so on, he says, Koyomah Hashem. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu at that time say Zeh hadavar? If Moshe Rabbeinu is so great and his prophecy is so great, why wasn't it unleashed and apparent when he spoke to Pharaoh, as here when he's speaking in Arvei Smoyav towards the end of his life? So the Piasetz Nereba here has an Arichase. He takes a side road in order to get an answer, and he talks about King David, and the Gemara says that all those psalms that were really precious to King David, he starts and he ends with the same kind of phrasing. Like the first psalm begins Ashrei Ho'ish, and it ends again with sort of Ashrei Ho'ish. And the medieval scholars commenting on the Gemara say that it's not just Ashrei, but other psalms that begin like Hallelujah at the beginning and Hallelujah at the end, or Tehillah LeDavid, Tehillah Hashem Yidaber Pi, that those psalms that David really felt inspired, he begins and ends with the same phrasing. So the Piasetzner takes a roundabout way to explain that it has more to do with how David felt his inspiration come upon him. That when David felt divinely inspired, there was two ways of David being divinely inspired. There was Mizmor LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmor. Mizmor LeDavid is David HaMelech begins singing, and then the inspiration comes to him as a result of him singing. But then there's a higher level of LeDavid Mizmor, where David feels inspired, and out of that inspiration comes the song. They're a very subtle difference, right? Sometimes music, or doing something, or sometimes dance, whatever it is that we do to raise our consciousness, sometimes we do the thing, we take the body, and the mind follows, right? And that's, it's a good thing to know in life, that very often, you know, just take the body and your mind will follow, right? And some of the Psalms are written like that. David HaMelech starts singing, and as he sings, he draws onto himself that spirit, the inspiration, the divine, the nevuah, the prophecy, the ruach hakodesh, the Holy Spirit, and so on. And then there are times when David HaMelech, out of his own soul, there comes the inspiration, with which energy David HaMelech feels he has to create something, and the music comes from there. And David HaMelech feels that that is a much higher, a much purer, a much more essentially divine process. So now, the Piasetzner, when he's talking about the idea of how we can bring the Ruach HaKodesh down upon ourselves, through music, which is really what the Piasetsuna Rebbe really wanted to dig down into. He says like this, and this is on page Kuf Tzadik of Eish Kodeshim. I efshel lehamshich al atzmoy ruach ha-kodesh b'shas tzav yoga in rachmon elitzlan. It's impossible to draw down onto yourself the divine spirit when you're in pain and grief. It's impossible to go into that divine place in the self. And then he brings from the Shara Kedusha of Rabbi Chaim Vital. He writes like this: She'echod mitnoi hanovi, one of the conditions of the prophet. So we know that in order to be in prophecy, you have to be in simcha, right? That's understood. That's a Gemara, as we'll be discussing. But Rabbi Chaim Vital says something. He says one of the conditions of prophecy is that you are such a person. In order to be divinely inspired, you have to be one of those people who can be in pain and still be in simcha. I mean, it's a challenge all of us face, right? To be in simcha doesn't mean to be happy. Because happiness and contentment are not the same. Happiness requires some kind of pursuit, some kind of hope. Contentment is a... Happiness is a challenge. Contentment is a spiritual condition. Simcha and contentment are very, very connected. Like the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Ezu hu oshir hasimeach bechelkoi." Who's rich? Somebody who rejoices in his portion. Meaning, happiness, the pursuit of happiness. Right? We talk in America, everybody's entitled to the pursuit of happiness, which is another way of saying, go chase as much money as you can. Right? Contentment is not a pursuit. Ezu hu oshir. Who is rich, who's wealthy, hasoimech b'chelko, is somebody who is rejoicing in his portion. So, and you know, contentment, that we would translate that in English, who's rich, somebody who's content. What does the Mishnah say? Ezu oshir hasoimech. Simcha and contentment. No, a person can be in pain and still be content. Because content is acceptance. So the Piasetzner says, Reb Chaim Vital says, one of the things about a Novi, somebody who is connected to the divine, is one of the Tanoim conditions is that we learn this skill. Not allowing pain to undo that sense within the self of I accept who I am, I accept my condition, and this is really, I feel connected here to God. We all know people like that, and we think, ah, Gewalt, see how they've met the challenge of adversity, but really, it goes beyond mere adversity. There's no adversity. Contentment means there's no adversity. And really, that's what simcha is. I met a Yid who said, Heshi, I didn't know means to be a chassid. I grew up in Litvak land. I'm a Lithuanian. And I used to learn a chavrusa with your father, but I never knew what it meant. You know, we used to learn Gemara, you know, so you're sitting at the Gemara. People are people. He said, but your brother died. Your brother, Yecheskel Shraga. This week is his yortzeit. 22 years. So, he said, Heshi, I was standing behind your father at the graveside where we interred your brother. We laid your brother to rest, and your father was listening to the Yesoimem. He was listening to the orphans saying Kaddish there. And my brother passed away. He left 10 children under the age of 15. And so, he says, I'm standing behind your father and the children, Nebuch, are crying. The oldest was just bar mitzvah. And they say Kaddish for their father, and your father answers, Omein Yeheshmei Rabu. He says, actually, you know, at that moment I understood all the things that I didn't understand. The man is grieving for his son who's just been killed in an accident, but he can answer Omein Yeheshmei Rabu b'kol koichoi. With all his strength. So there's the inyan of simcha. U'mikol mokoim. Nevertheless, Oma Elisha k'chuli menagin. Elisha said, when King Chizkiyahu wanted to know whether he's going to be successful in his endeavors, so he asked him to bring the prophet. I may have the wrong king, maybe not Chizkiyahu. So they bring Elisha, and Elisha says, "Kholi menagin, bring me a musician." The Torah tells us, and it was Kim Menagin Amenagin, when the musician made the music, that the spirit Ruach Likim came upon Elisha and he started to prophesy. Oh, but why should it be necessary? Why should it be necessary to bring a Menagin? One of the Tanoim of Nevuah is that you don't need a menagin, that you're always besimcha. Nevertheless, in order to achieve prophecy, a person needs another level of simcha. You need to rejoice. You need to go beyond the contentment. You need a little joy, right? So even though Elisha was a very contented person, and he was always in simcha, mikol mokoim, nevertheless, there was something about the pain that he was enduring that decreased his simcha so much that he couldn't really get there. He couldn't connect with the divine, with Ruach HaKodesh. See, when Ruach HaKodesh comes from above, as a gift from the divine, numemela. But when you're trying to wake your own self up to the divine, yeah, I need a little simcha. V'efshezeh gam kein echad me'anyonim shehigdim yemei anoy lichtev eicha koidim chobim beis amigdash kom Moshe Amr Chazal. Why did Jeremiah write the Book of Lamentations so many years before the destruction of the temple? So according to what I've said, he says, I can understand. Because had Jeremiah tried to write the Book of Lamentations at the time that the destruction of the temple was actually going on, he wouldn't have been able to. Hoye bitzar godol, he was in so much pain. He could not have said his own prophecy with the divine spirit. Because in order to cry, in order to mourn, in order to lament with the divine, you can't do it without a little simcha. So that's why the Book of Lamentations was written many years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now the Piasetzner has talked a little about the necessity for simcha, and even though you have to be a person who lives in joy, nevertheless, when it comes time to get in touch with your prophecy, it's okay to say, you know, I need a little more simcha. I need some real joy. So now the Piasetzner says, Nevua I efshe ba'atzvus, while it's true that prophecy is impossible when you're depressed, HaGemara Emeres v'cheinet v'halocha, the Gemara adds, it's not just prophecy that requires that you not be depressed, but halocha, learning, Torah, also, you're not gonna be able to learn the Torah properly unless you're a happy person. If you're in depression, kemenish lernen, you're not going to be able to be mevara the halacha. This is the Gemara saying, right? So all these Tannoim and Amoraim, all these great sages of antiquity, part of their challenge as students was to learn to maintain a level of simcha. Shigam ledvar halacha tzrichim simcha. To be able to say a halacha, you also need simcha. And then the Piasetzner adds, loy listam halacha bilvad, and we're not just talking about any old halacha. No, you ask me, what's the din? Is this an animal, a kosher one, or a treifa one? You know, I need simcha to be able to answer you, but that's not just what it means. Afilu lidroish drush min hatzoras I efshe b'shal shviras alev v'dakas haruach. Everybody knows one of the ways that we sweeten life is to chew it. You know, you go to a counselor, you sit with a psychiatrist, and you go over your life, and you learn the lessons that are there to be learned, right? All of us, in one way or another, we're involved in this process all the time, whether we do it with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, with our friends, whether we go to a 12-step meeting or we go to a counselor, whether we write to Dear Abby, doesn't matter. We're taking our life and we're laying it out there in order to learn, to darshan, to make a drush, right? And everything that happens to us, especially when we're telling others about it, we're making a drush. Let me tell you what happened to me. But you know something the Piasetzner says? This process is also impossible without some joy. In fact, anybody who's been to Comedy Central or turned on their television knows that that's the essence of comedy. It's just tragedy revisited, right? The first time it was Vegetun. The second time, now it's comedy, right? Why is it comedy? Because I'm looking at it with a different eye, right? I'm looking lidroish drush. So it sounds very funny to people when I talk about the lessons that I learned from my tragedy. That's really what comedy is. Yeah? I can't do that without simcha. That's the secret of comedy. It's got simcha in it. No, Piasetzner Rebbe says, no. We're sitting here, it's July in the Warsaw Ghetto, so what's the joke? And then he goes and he takes another step and he says, V'yesh lefo'omim, and sometimes it happens, she'i efshe gam lehachriach es atzmoy leimoy v'lidrashma. Sometimes it's even impossible to force yourself. Let's take a look at life and let's see what we learn, what lessons are to be learned. Sometimes it's impossible. What lessons? What lessons in a concentration camp? What lesson? I can't even force myself, said the Pia Setzner Rebbe. Migoidel ha-shivroin v'hanefile, from the brokenness and the fallenness. It's not just the brokenness, right? It's the fallenness. Nu, but the Rebbe is saying Torah. So he's found it in himself, in spite of everything he said, to say something. So this is what he's saying. And with what can a person strengthen himself at least a little bit, so long as the salvation hasn't actually come? And how can one raise one's spirits a little bit, at least at a time of being smashed like this? Reish is called the first thing. Bitfile ubitochen, with davening. That's the first thing. Bein shleil, I'm going to daven. As soon as I start davening, I start feeling connected to you. Ubitochen, and in my faith, Shashem avarachman. Bein shleil, you are my compassionate, merciful, loving Father. And I know, Rabbeinu Shalom, it's impossible that my perception could be real. My perception is not real because you're my Father. You're my God. You can't throw me away. You haven't thrown me away. So you're not throwing me away. So I'm not thrown away. It's impossible that you would just abandon us like we're feeling abandoned. So we're not abandoned. Surely salvation is going to come in a augenblick, in the blink of an eye. Fair enough. Okay. The Pia Setzner says, I can go into that place of faith and surety, and I can raise myself a little bit, but what am I going to do about all those millions who have already been killed? Hakroivim, family, v'yedidim, and loved ones, and some push to Yidden, who their loss to me feels like I lost myself. And what are we going to do? How are we going to raise ourselves to face these mishmuis, huayumois, these horrible tidings, the news, these things that we hear? Hayishonois, the old ones, v'achadoshois, and the new ones, because, as the Rebbe writes earlier in the Torah, the cattle cars on their way to Auschwitz, they used to pass through Warsaw. They could hear them full of thousands of children shouting, who were looking out through the slats and were looking at the Yidden of Warsaw and shouting, Helft, Helft, Ratovitz. Hamefarkois is atzmoisenu. This news that just breaks our bones. Memasa is a Slovena just jellifies our hearts. Oh, what are we going to use here? Bezer she'en ono levadenu b'tzoriseinu. Okay. So the Rebbe says, you know what? It's obvious we're not alone in our troubles. Ragam hu yizborach kavyochol soyve limonu. God is also with us, as it's written, I am with him in his woe. And it's not just that God is with us in our woe. He says, Yesh non tsoro is she'onu musovlim ba'atzmeinu. Here the Rebbe takes a step. And he says, you know, There's stuff that you go through in life. Why? For yourself. Al-Khatoenu. You make mistakes, you suffer, right? Whether you see it as punishment for sins, or whether you just see it as a karmic cycle, or you see it as just, the world correcting itself, you know, you made a mistake and now you're left with the consequences and deal with it, right? So there's that kind of pain, you know, that a person goes through, which you could say, I blame myself, right? Or Yisurim Shalahava Kedei Lamarik Ulataris, or there's the pain that comes at the level of Yisurim Shalahava, love pain. However we understand the concept of love pain, it's a very, very ancient Jewish idea that on behalf of God sometimes you have to suffer pain. And that it's a joyous thing to suffer pain for God. Okay? Yisurim Shalahava, pain of love. Alright, and that in certain way, it also purifies the soul. In those cases, the Piyasetsuna says, in those cases, Hu Yizborach Rak Imonu Seivel. So God is with us all the time. Imo Yanoichi Betzora. God says, I'm with him in his pain. So when we're going through, whether it's corrective or whether it's just pains of love, God is with us. We're not talking about those pains. The Rebbe says, but there's other kind of pain, which is such a high thing that we have to, if we can stop and just realize what the pain is, it's not toothache, because I haven't had dentistry for 10 years, right? It's not hunger, because I haven't eaten anything in 3 years. There's another level. If I can get to it, I'll be able to see what it is. I'll see it's a very wonderful thing. What is it? Yeshnon tzorois she'onu rak imoy kav yochol soivlim. There's another kind of pain, which it's not our pain at all. It's pain that we suffer with God. Tzorois shel kiddush Hashem. It's the pain of the sanctification of the name of God. As we say, Ovinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Asei Leman Harugim Al Shem Kodshecho, do for the sake of those who are killed for your holy name. Sheheim Harugim Kavyochol Leman Oye Leman Kiddush Shmo Yizborach. That they are killed for him. The Rebbe doesn't really spell out here what he means, but he puts the word kavyochol lemanoi. You know, there's a religion, calls itself a sister religion, that is based on the idea that God dies for us. That God died for us and they redeemed us, and so therefore, you know, we're all redeemed and all we have to do is believe in that death and redemption and we're all redeemed, right? Very nice. Thrilled. Piyasetsuna Rebbe says it's the other way round. Shehem harugim kavyochol lemano, you know, we die for God. Uleman kiddush shmo yizborach, and we die for the sanctification of his holy name. Hoshanu Sivela Sivloch, we say in Sukkot, help those who carry your burden. What does that mean? Shisro Gam Sivela Sivloi, really, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this is your burden that we're carrying. Oh. Oh, it's a whole other thing now, right? You know, 20-something years ago, I first got into 12-step program, and one of the things that's on the wall in almost every 12-step program room, there's these Albrecht Dürer hands praying, right? And there's a serenity prayer. And then there's something called footsteps. And it's about a man who, at the end of his life, He looks back and he sees that wherever he walked, there were two pair of footsteps. And he says, God, woohoo. God says, I was walking with you. And he says, what about that very difficult part of my life there where I see I went through that really hard time and I look there, there's only one pair of footsteps. And God says, there I was carrying you. It's again this Christian idea, right? Toi. It's pink faket, right? Hoishana sevela sivloch. The Rebbe says, help, please, those who are carrying you. She Yisrael gam soivel es sivloi. Not only are we carrying Rabban Yishlenim, we're carrying the burden that you should be carrying. So, the main pain that we're going through is not even our own pain, it's like his pain. We're carrying his pain for him. Such kind of torture. On a yoise gedoilem ve yoise meroimim. This magnifies us. This elevates us, such kind of torture. Memela yoise yicholem atlis chazik. A little bit. If we think, if we can see through our pain and see it's not even our pain, it's God's. Why are we feeling it? And you're lucky, huh? You're the chosen people. You actually get to feel God's pain. You get to feel, carry God's burden. No? How bad could it be? Hoshana lemedes yirosach. We say, in that Hoshana, we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, save those who learn your fear. We learn your fear. We sit, what's your fear? Your Torah. Hoshana merutas lechi, save those who have their beards pulled out of their cheeks. Hoshana lesuna lemakim, save those who are just given over for torture. Hoshana soivele sivloch, finally we say, save those who carry your burden. What does it mean, lemedes yirosach? The Rebbe says, ulimit kol ha-toyre. The Torah is called the Yira, the fear of God, because it says, why does God want you to learn His Torah? In order that fear of Him shall be on your face. So, Torah is called fear. Anu, eich eshe lelmoit, how can you learn? Kishe merutas lechi in the sunna lemakim, when your beard is torn out and somebody's smacking you. And the answer is, sivele sivloch. Because it's not our beard that's being pulled out. It's not our children, our friends who are being blown up on the street in a bus. No. Sivele sivloch. Sir Boinishlein, this is all yours, your burden, your savlonus. We're lucky enough to be able to do it for you, no? Mamaila. Umizem is chazek is ma'at. So the Rebbe says, with this a person can raise himself up a little bit. Unbelievable Torah. So then the Rebbe says, you know, Yidelach, we like to blame ourselves for everything that's happening, right? I've talked before about what the compulsion is, the Jewish compulsion to always blame ourselves, because it gives us the illusion of power, control. If I can blame myself for everything that's happening, then what? Oh, because I talk in davening, so this goy, he takes this, builds this big oven and shtips yidnaran. Okay, so, you know how we can make it stop happening? We'll stop talking during davening. You know, that kind of thinking, with which we were inculcated from the earliest youth, right? Because I believe God is tzedek, Hatsur Tomim Poloi, the rock, his works are just. No? So if something that feels unjust is happening to me, it must be I deserved it. Oh, I deserved it. I gotta find something to blame. I blame myself, and so on. But underneath it's not really. I'm not really trying to do tzedakah, that's my excuse. That's my rationale. The emesis, I'm trying to control what's happening to me. And if I can blame myself, I can take control. So whatever it is I'm doing wrong, I can stop doing it, and the thing that will stop happening. Yeah. So the Rebbe says, "B'manoida." And how can we know in Matzora same bad chatoenu bilvat? All right. So let's say we're blaming ourselves, right? But how can we know? How can we know that it's not, we're not to blame? It's not about us at all. We can take ourselves out of the equation altogether, that it's really for the sanctification of God's name. Do they hate us, or do they really hate the Torah? So they'll go for us, but really what they hate is Judaism. They hate Torah. So he says, Agzeiros Haman Shola Gomorrah Mipnei Man Nischaivus Sinein Shel Yisrael Sheboi Sadok Kolio. At the time of Haman, the Gomorrah says, what did the Yidden do to deserve destruction? Agzeiros HaYavonim, but the Gomorrah doesn't ask the question about the Greeks who tried to destroy us in the time of the Hasmoneans, right? Benes Chanukah. Even though many thousands of Jews died at that time, many, many more than died at the time of Haman, right? There was wars going on in the time of the Hasmoneans. Thousands. Thousands died. Why doesn't the Gemara say, oh, so what did they do to deserve it? Because Haman didn't get involved in the Torah at all. He says, let's kill the Jews. No. So you can just kill the Jews. Let's ask ourselves, maybe we're to blame, right? But the Yevonim, the main thing about the Yevonim is she'amda malchus Yovan HaRasha al amcha Yisrael lehashkicham Torah secho lehaavira mechukei ritzenecho. The main things that the Greeks hated was the Torah. They just didn't want us to be Jews. They didn't want to kill us. So it's not proper then to ask, what did we do to deserve it? What sin did we do to bring this calamity upon us? It's about us. It's not about us. Kivin shiyisurim shel kiddush Hashem, it's about God. Even though you could argue that, yeah, everybody's got sins that need to be expiated, and that, you know, so you're going through trouble, expiates your sin. Avol shuva Hashem ad Mosai. The Rebbe just throws in a pasuk. Shuva Hashem ad Mosai v'hinochem al avedech. Shuva Hashem, return, O God, ad Mosai. Till when? So here, I just want to note where this first comes up in the Rebbe's Torah. It was in 1939, just a few weeks after they were trapped in the Warsaw Ghetto and things were still very chaotic. It came Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shabbos Shuva, the Rebbe says, Shuva Yisroel Ad Hashem Lekecha. The prophet Hosea says, and this is the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuva, return Israel to God, Ki Chashaltu Bavinecha, because you are caught up in your sins. So the Rebbe says, we have a medrash that God keeps all the mitzvahs. God keeps the whole Torah, just like we have to keep the 613. God has to keep the 613. So how does God do tshuva? The Rebbe asks. How does God do tshuva? So he says there's one level of tshuva. When God changes his mind about all the bad things that he's promised to do to us and says, no, I won't do it. So that's God's teshuva. I regret saying I would hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. Like we told in Shemois that God regretted all the bad things he said he was going to do to the Jewish people. When Moshe, you know, he said, "Achaloisim karoga, leave them alone. Leave me alone, I'll destroy them all." After the worship of the golden calf, and Moshe davens, and God says, "All right, I won't do that." Kaviyochel charota. So God regrets. And it's true that teshuvah requires regret, right? You do something wrong, you have to say, "Oops, I'm sorry I did that. I'm not going to do that anymore." Aval kishetshuvosu rak al ra shenaso yashom alasos az nisher misoyim tomet chas v'chalila ba'oser hamatziv. But that's not real teshuvah, right? I mean, like, if God says, "All right, I won't hurt you," right? But then we're no better off than we were, right? We're still in the same terrible situation. Because, you know something? If I did something really bad and I do tshuva, my tshuva just means I am sorry I did that, I won't do it anymore. Groisezach, who am I? I'm the thief that doesn't steal, right? I'm the murderer who doesn't murder. Am I a good guy? No. I've just promised I won't do that anymore. Groiseglick, yeah? What kind of tshuva is that? It's just charota, it's just regret, yeah? Teshuva is, I become a different person, right? Person who couldn't do such a thing. Not because I've said I can't do such a thing, because it's out of the question for the person I'm now to do such a thing. So that's why the prophet says, Shuva Yisrael, do tshuva, ad Hashem Elokecha. You got to get all the way to God. So therefore, for God to do real tshuva, it's not that he doesn't do any harm. That's not real tshuva. Real tshuva is that God fixes. So, Shuva Hashem, return, O God, do tshuva ad Mosai, to when? V'hinochem ala v'decho. So, you undo all the bad things. Okay, fair enough. But then it says, Sabeinu baboike chazdecho. So you have to make us feel good every morning when we wake up. We wake up not in the Warsaw ghetto, not in Auschwitz, but we wake up in the sunshine. That's Sabeinu Baboike Chazdecha. Make us satisfied in the morning of your kindness. So now here, if we come back, so that was back in 1939. Now here, the Rebbe uses the same pasuk. L'chein ein lishoil. So a person mustn't ask, al ezechet, what sin did we Jewish people do to end up in this situation? Ki yisurim shel kiddush Hashem. This pain that we're going through has nothing to do with us. It's not what we did. It's the Surim of Kiddush Hashem. It's really, there's a war on, it's against God. There's a war on in the world against Allah. And what's happening is the name of God, Allah, going to be desecrated in the world or sanctified in the world? In order to resolve this question of sanctification, what is sanctifying or what is desecrating? No. Let's get some Jews and kill them. In new and interesting ways. But it's not about us. Aval shuva Hashem ad Mosai. But Rabbeinu Shelanu, when are you going to do tshuva? Yisroel moisrim nashim al kiddush Hashem. Yidden are just giving their lives al kiddush Hashem. V'yirachim no Hashem al amoy. And God, please, have compassion on your people. Ubonov, and on your sons. And the herogim who are killed, umis yasrim, and tortured, lemano yizburach.